Hey, if you're listening to this podcast episode when it drops, we just launched a new Kickstarter yesterday. Bakir's Battlers Dead Rising, a whole new batch of awesome wooden minis. We have zombies and we have skeletons and their respective leaders, necromancers and liches. They're pretty cool. They are full of old school flavors, just like anything Bakir puts his pen to. If you've played Marching Order and seen the art, you know that we are all about it. We've partnered with him on lots of projects because his style is just, I mean, it's our thing. It really hits the buttons for us. And the miniatures from the first Kickstarter are going to be available then too. We have goblins and the heroes, and all four are going to be available. We're going to keep making these wooden minis, so it's a really good time to get in on the ground floor and start collecting them. You can find a link on the show notes, or just search for Bakir's Battlers on Kickstarter. But I'd check the show notes. It's probably easier. If anyone has ever given you the advice to roll dice randomly behind your screen to make your players nervous, we need to talk about random encounters. Hey, I'm James. I spent the last few days tilling a new garden and my bug bites have bug bites. My muscles look larger because of the raised bumps of skin from terrible bugs. But you know what? I'm here today to dork out about dungeons and design on Crumbling Keeps, the Dungeon Dorks. Random encounters. Why do we do them? And why have they fallen out of favor at so many tables? Well, to answer that question, we're going to have to go back to the beginning. And, well, that's a nebulous trap. When did punk rock start? Was it with the Ramones, the Sex Pistols, the Velvet Underground? But we're not going to get too mired down in that today. We're going to go back to OD&D, the first box set. It emphasized the dungeon above all else. The different rooms in the dungeon, they've been codified by more recent folks who have studied such things. Monsters, traps, treasure, empty slash lore. And I forget who called it lore. I do so much more appreciate that than empty. In any case, the dungeon was the thing, and exploration was done in turns. Now, wandering monsters, they added a time pressure. They made dungeons a dangerous place to linger. Are you trying to rest in a dungeon? You better have a good room to barricade the doors. Every turn spent exploring a dungeon, the dice would be rolled, and it was another possibility of a wandering monster appearing. I want you to imagine with me a dungeon map. We look at the key, there's 2d6 kobolds in a room. There, forever. Waiting in suspended animation for someone to kick down the door. Schrödinger's kobolds. Are they there before you open the door? Does it matter? Is this realistic? No, but honestly, that's okay. It'd be really hard to track otherwise. If the text said there's 2d6 kobolds in this room at the beginning of the game, and the GM has to figure out what they're doing every single second of the game, as well as all the kobolds in every room, everywhere. Obviously, that's nonsense. But to counterpoint this, not every monster in a dungeon is sedentary. Some move from place to place. Some hunt. Hence, wandering monsters. Now, if we look back at this edition and most early editions of the game, characters weren't super strong. One fight could mean death. So when you heard that dice on the other side of screen, it meant something might be coming, and you don't even know what that something could be. Now, when we add wilderness exploration and random encounters, we have a world that is trying to feel alive. Not every monster sits in its hex, just waiting for you to show up. The world doesn't completely revolve around the PCs. Now, they can leave their mark on it and they can change things, absolutely. But the world keeps moving with or without them. Those wandering monsters are thought to be somewhere at any given time. It's just not important until they're somewhere where the players can perceive them. Now, I think there's a secondary reason for random encounters as well, one that I think is a lot of fun. So in any game of D&D, GMs are going to present to players with situations all the time, and the players have to figure out what to do with them. The GM says, "You come upon a chasm in the woods." And the players weren't ready for that. They weren't planning for that. And now they have to figure it out. And that thinking on their feet, that's really part of the fun of the game, right? It lets us put ourselves in those stressful situations in a safe way and explore them. They suddenly have to get creative and do something with what the game gave them. And random encounters are a way to make the game master do the same. When that random encounter hits, like when the dice rolls and it says there's a random encounter, and then the GM has to roll to see what the random encounter is, the GM didn't know there were going to be bugbears in that hallway. I mean, there weren't bugbears in that hallway seconds ago, not until the dice said there were. Now, the GM, just like the players have to do all the time, has to quickly decide what they're doing. How do they describe it to the players? Throw some other old school mechanics in there, like a surprise roll, and maybe the bugbears don't know the PCs are even there. Or maybe they spring from behind shadowy columns to attack. Or maybe we have a reaction roll and the bugbears don't care about the PCs. Better yet, maybe they'd like to ally with them. There might be worse things in this dungeon than the bugbears for the PCs to contend with. So, why did random encounters and wandering monsters, why have they fallen out of favor? Well, a different playstyle has evolved. Now, these encounters, they're still bread and butter in OSR games. OSR doesn't exist just for nostalgia or because people like old things. Don't get me wrong, that is part of the appeal. But it's also an ethos, it's a gaming philosophy, which is a counterpoint to modern gaming's TV show type feel. Many modern games are episodic, plot driven. And the thing about plot driven games is you need to make sure players, well, follow the plot. They kind of get drug along for the ride. When you see any post online from a GM complaining that their game has gone off the rails, that's because their game was on rails. This is likely the type of game that they were trying to run. If you don't have rails, if you're, say, doing a hex crawl and the players decide to go right when you expected them to go left, well, they go to the next hex and you figure out what is there. The world doesn't revolve around them. But in these episodic games, it does. And many people enjoy this style of gaming. Show up, get subjected to an episode. The GM is less an arbitrator and more a storyteller, and teach their own. That's fine. But you know what derails this is randomness, either by the players or the game. If we take that bugbear from earlier, that was not supposed to factor into today's episode of intrigue and romance. And now the GM has to contend with a bugbear that could upset the entire plot. They know where it began, and they have in their notes where it will end. And they need that bugbear to move it in that direction. Modern games are on a completely different chassis. OSR games need distances, time, resource tracking, resource depletion, and it's that framework that props up random encounters. It tells us when they happen, every hex, which is a distance and time thing for that matter, and why they matter. Well, there's always the possibility of death if we treat hit points as a resource, but also who knows what else you use up in the fighting of them. And modern games skip over all of that, going from plot point to plot point to plot point. In OSR games, travel and exploration is the thing, or at least one of the big ones. And in modern games, it gets in the way of the thing. Now, don't get me wrong. Everyone should play a game that they love, and if they can't do that, they should at least play it with people they love. I think both these styles are legitimate, and I run both of these styles. I have my large dungeon with like very procedural driven turns and whatnot, and I have my weekly superhero game where I write each episode after the last one based on the events of what happened before. They're both really fun, and I think people should experiment with different games and different styles of games. Because you can take something like Dungeons and Dragons and run that either way, and other games gear more toward one or the other. And like I said, I like both. You should try them. They're different things for different groups and different games. But when it comes to writing adventures for publication, you can pry my random encounter tables out of my cold, dead fingers on a 2 in 6 chance.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you have any questions about anything I talked about here today or on any past episodes of Dungeon Dorks, go to crumblingkeep.com/question and ask away, or just check the link in the show notes.